Good morning. Let's join together in our new hymn of preparation, and again, Joyce will play it through once, and then we'll sing on the second time through. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church. We're glad that you're all here with us this morning, and a very special welcome to those that are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that you are certainly welcome here. And if you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we welcome you to join us here at Main Street. If you'll give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, that will allow us to have information to contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So now, if you would please pass those attendance pads down, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. Our gathering series starts back this Wednesday, August 29th. For this one Wednesday only, the gathering will be at 6 o'clock rather than the normal 5:15. And we have a very special program scheduled for this Wednesday. We will be celebrating the 50th birthday of Reverend Dennis. So we hope that all of you can be present for that. Be a little bit of roasting going on. So please make plans to be present for that. Please call the church office and make reservations so that they will have a number to know how many to cook for. Also, the Disciple Bible Studies, it's still not too late to sign up for Disciple Bible Studies. If you'll notice in your newsletters this week, there are Bible studies planned for Disciple 1, Disciple 2, and Disciple 4. The Disciple 2 class, which is scheduled to meet on Sundays at 5 o'clock, as well as a Disciple 4 scheduled to meet at 5 o'clock on Sundays, those two will start this Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Disciple 1, which will also be meeting on Sunday, that has been postponed and will not start until September the 9th. And Disciple 4, which will meet on Tuesday evening from 5:30 to 8, still has openings, but they have not decided what date that they will start on yet. Also, in your bulletins, there is an insert for the supper clubs. Please note that today is the last day to sign up for the supper club, so please, if you are interested in that, fill that out and drop it in the offering plate today. All of the youth are reminded that today kicks off their fall season, and their programs start this afternoon at 5 o'clock, so all youth come prepared with your bathing suits to go to the moors for a swimming party. That's today at 5 o'clock. Our annual Missions Bazaar is scheduled for November the 3rd. Tables are $30 apiece, so if an individual or a group has a craft that they would like to sell at that mission fair, please contact the church office to reserve a table. The proceeds from the sale of the table goes to the Missions Committee, but anything that you sell at that Missions Bazaar, you get to keep for your group. So if you're interested in that, contact the church office and let them know. You'll need to let the church office know by mid-October if you would like a table at that Missions Bazaar. And Richard Pinckney asked me to remind everyone that upper rooms are now available and you can pick those up. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Please stand and join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. Come, let us seek rest at the altar of God, where even the infant can find comfort and protection, where even the weak can find peace and justice. Blessed are they who dwell in God's presence, where even the lily may grow in glory, where even the grass may be clothed with life. Blessed are they who trust in you, O Lord, our home and our provider.
Ask you to join me. The invocation is found in your bulletin. We praise you, O God, our Redeemer, We thank you for this day with its goodness and grace that come from your hand. We gather with a variety of experiences and expectations. Even so, We are confident that you can hear the longings of our hearts. We wait in adoration and praise. Your grace is near us in the calm and in the storm. We wait before you, seeking to discern your holy will and desiring to be a faithful church of Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. As we come to our prayer time, we do have several special concerns to bring before you, to remember in your personal times of prayer in the days to come. Let us continue to be in prayer for Sally Sprott, Carol Harley's mother, who will have further surgery in the next few weeks. Jimmy Wade, who is recovering but still very weak and needs our prayers and our visits. Reverend Lewis Sherrod, who had some successful surgery this past Friday but is still very weak, needs our prayers and visits. Ann and Ken Flensham, both with their health concerns at home. Wally Dorn, who lost his mother this past week. Gary Clark, still recovering. Ray Ballantyne, Jason Ballantyne's father, we ask you to be in special prayer for him. Let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come today to church scrubbed and clean, dressed in our Sunday best. Inside, where you see us, we seek your comfort for our broken places, for broken finances, our broken relationships, our broken faith, our broken hearts. As we worship you, we lift up our trust and hope in you and in your promise to work things together for the good. We have not always done what is good, we confess. We have not always cared for the outcast or even cared for ourselves as we should. Forgive us, we pray, and give us a new beginning, a new outlook, a new heart. Creator God, create in us new hearts, minds, and souls, and make us whole, we pray. And Lord, we do pray in a time of turmoil and chaos in our world for the leaders of the nations of this world, that they be more open to the influence of your Holy Spirit and for the things that make for peace. We pray for those who are caught up in natural disasters and storms, that somehow things be worked together for folks to find what is really valuable, what is really worthy, and for neighbor to rise up above selfishness and to help neighbor, and neighboring countries to help neighboring countries in despair. Lord, we thank you for the hope and the comfort that you give us when we have lost loved ones. We pray that you bless those who are grieving with the hope of life eternal through your Son. That you bless those who have bitterness in heart, that it is possible to forgive and to move on and grow. For those who are struggling and frustrated, we pray that you be with them and with your Spirit influence them, give them hope beyond the struggle. And now, Lord, we lift up our private prayers for each other, for ourselves, for our church, and for the special situations where we need and pray your guidance, what step to take next. Lord, hear now the prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I would like to invite forward our teachers for elementary classes, Jill Warner and Glenn Williams, third grade teachers, and second grade teachers, and all the second and third graders. All the second and third graders, please come up front, in front of the altar rail. So you will receive your Bibles today. Oh, I'm sorry. Third graders. And as we will name the third graders, that is Julia Baker, Aiden Fife, Parker Finkelstadt, Joe Hartung, Taylor Johnson, Isabella Jones, and Leanne Punt. I just wanted to say a word. Do we have everyone who is present on our list here? Okay. I wanted to say a word to you before your teachers give you your Bibles. There's an old Jewish tradition, and 80% of your Bible is the Jewish Bible, that when they are given a copy of Scripture, they put a little drop of honey on the first page to remind you that the Bible is sweet, that the Word of God is sweet and pleasing, and that God cares for us, God loves us, God thinks about us individually. We're not just some face in the crowd, but individually we're beloved by God. And the love of God that is given to us in Jesus Christ is meant to be passed on to others as we continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. Remember the love from God, the love to us, and the love out from us to others. The big message of the Bible. Now let your teachers present you with your Scripture. Now we invite all the children, maybe they'll turn around and come back, all the children for the children's time with Myra Schaefer.
Anybody have offering need to give Miss Kathy? Hampton has the offering plate. If anybody has any offering? Okay. There we go. Good. All right. We're going to do something this morning, and we're going to ask everybody in this building to help us. I want all of you to stand up. Stand up, because I want you to see this. It's kind of amazing, actually. I want everybody in the congregation, everybody in the choir, everybody in the balcony, stand up. All right, you are my examples. I want you to look at all these people out here, okay? This is your church. All of these people belong to your church, and you're part of them. Now, I want everybody that's 60 and older to sit down. Wow. Wow. Did you see that? A bunch of people sat down. Okay, now if you're 40 and older, sit down, and I have to sit down too. Man, look at that. It's getting slimmer and slimmer. If you are 20 and over, sit down. Okay, if you are 14 and over, sit down. Look how many that leaves. There are a few up there in the balcony that should be down here. And they're all of you. Do you know what that means? You're the youngest people in the church. Duh. Right? That's why you come down here. And what if you had to stand up here every day and they put you up there in the pulpit instead of Reverend Jim and told you, you have to preach today? What if they told you, you had to play the organ today? Or they told you, you have to sing a solo today and look at all those people. Would you be afraid? Yeah, you'd be afraid maybe. But you know, God says that nobody is too young to serve Him. You all have a place. You all have a purpose. He knew before you were even born. He knew you before you were born. And He decided that you were going to be special to Him even before you were born. And if you trust in Him, He would give you the words to say to people out here. Now turn around and look at all these people. Okay? Now wave at them. Wave at them. They're pretty scary looking. We have to look at them in the choir every Sunday. And they're pretty scary looking. But You know what? They love you, and they will support you in anything you do that you do in this church. That's why sometimes they clap for you when you do great things, right? All right, everybody out here and in the choir, I want you to tell these people, we love you.
We love you.
Wow, isn't that impressive, right? Okay, so just think about it. You got this whole church to love you and support you whenever you get up to sing. If you're in children's choir and you get up to sing, or if you come down the aisle and you light the candles when you're old enough, or you carry the crucifix, anything you do in this church, all these people will love you while you do it. And God will look down and give you the courage to do it. Okay? Let's say a prayer. Ready? Our Heavenly Father, please bless us with the words to say and the courage to say them, so that we may praise you and bring glory to your name in everything we do. Amen. Thank you. Turn around and wave at them again. They'll wave back. There you go. Thank you.
Myra has inspired me. I'm going to have one member stand up who accomplished something yesterday, if he can. Kirk McEachern, where is Kirk? Where's Kirk? Right there. There he is. Okay. Kirk yesterday and I, to raise money for hospice, rode 62 miles all around Clinton on bicycle and finished. We did finish. And we were not last. But the thing I want to tell you about Kirk is my chain came off at one point, and two of my good buddies from 15 years ago, they went on ahead. Kirk waited on me. Kirk, so I appreciate that. He waited on me so I wouldn't have to be back there by myself. So anyway, we're very proud of that. And I did want to see if he could stand. It was a little iffy for me this morning, but thank goodness for Advil. Let us pass the peace.
Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. If you wish to follow in your pew Bible, it's on page 854. This is the call of Jeremiah, and as Ms. Meyer indicated, Jeremiah was a young person. He was possibly 16 when the Lord called him. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put out his hand and touch my mouth. And the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over all nations and all kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. Again, in the Pew Bibles, page 275 in the New Testament section. Here, Jesus is being compared to the Old Testament covenant and shown to be better. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness, gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given, even if an animal touches the mountain. It shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sign that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festive gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now let us continue our worship. Now, through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts.
I shall not want, for lack of
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all the opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, Rakim, it's your day to preach. Now, would you please get me some water? I need you to get me a glass of water. Okay, you don't have to preach today. I'm a little dry today. I do try to start sermons, especially when the topic is serious, with a little bit of humor. And I think you know after over 3 years now that any humor I attempt is only going to be just a little bit. And I did run this by, as I told the 828 crowd, I ran it by my wife Caroline. She said, do not use it, but we've already used it once, so we might as well go full speed ahead. It seems a man went to a discount clothing store to buy a suit. The clerk brought out one that he had at a very low price to try on, and the man said, you know, it doesn't fit. The sleeves are too long. And the salesman said, you know, well, all you got to do is just sort of hunch your shoulders up like this, and now the sleeves are just about right. And he said, okay. And he said, but the right sleeve's a couple inches longer than the left. He said, well, all right, that's no problem. Just kind of hike it up under your armpit here. Hold your arm like this. Keep your shoulders hunched, and, you know, then it looks okay. And he looked down. He said, but the pants are too long. The pants are way too long. He says, well, that's no problem. Just lean over like this, and it's going to be fine. And so he was walking out of the store, hunched over with his arm up, you know, leaning over. And he saw a couple of ladies, and the ladies said, look at that man. Would you just look at that man? What is wrong with him? The other one said, I don't know, but don't his suit fit nice? Now, the only reason I told that is this story starts out with a woman who is bent over and she ends up walking up straight and rejoicing. And that story has a man walking in straight and fine and ends up walking out hunched over. Beyond that, it really doesn't fit, but I thought it was worthwhile. We spend a lot of time in our culture working on externals, and it could be suits or dresses or clothing or houses or careers or what have you, cars. As a pastor, I have learned that what lives beneath in the human heart is often so desperately disparate from what we show on the outside that I scarcely pay attention to externals anymore. Our lives on the inside, where only God knows, get so contorted and so twisted in so many ways. True story. I heard about a man who went to a business dinner with a colleague, and after the dinner, he politely refused dessert, and his friend made some casual comment, said, oh, you're watching your waistline. The guy said, well, yes, but it's much more than that. He proceeded to tell how when he was a child, he was very chubby, he was always overweight, and it got him the nickname Lard. And some of us have known people by that name. I knew a man in Rock Hill that they called Lard, and I can't believe people enjoy that. Well, it stuck with him all the way through high school. And when this man finally left for college, a different community and a different set of friends, he vowed that no one would ever have reason to call him Lard again. No more would he ever have to live through that humiliation, that the very name that people called him was one of ridicule and derision. And so he fiercely watched his diet and his weight, and he guarded against that old name, Lard. Sometimes, something as simple as a nickname can become a label that pulls us down and humiliates us under a load of disrespect and scorn, and it can be a weight that we carry around for years and years. Now, one advantage of moving away from home and going someplace new is that people don't know your labels and you can have a fresh start. The bent over woman whose name we don't know, we just know her, and people knew her apparently in that town as the bent over woman for 18 years. That's what she had been. She did not have to leave town. Jesus gave that woman in the story right there and then a new beginning. She was able to start over and stay put right where she was as a new, joyful, and hope-filled person. Now, for some folks, that heavy burden that stoops us over can be a chronic illness or pain. In a situation like that, it can be so easy to become completely absorbed in your pain and suffering so that there's hardly any life left over. It can also be emotional and spiritual brokenness. It can be financial brokenness. You begin to define yourself not as a person anymore, but by your problem, by fat or infirm or poor or disturbed or afflicted, no longer the person you once were. The disease and the disorder loom so large that you can't see the end of the tunnel, so you assume you just have to live your whole life in the tunnel, in the dark. But God always provides ways up and out and beyond what you think your limits are and what you think will always hold you down. In the simplest terms, this gospel story is a story of a reversal. So many stories of Jesus and encounters with Jesus are complete reversals. This nameless woman started bent over, downcast with disease, and she ended up standing straight up, eye to eye, joyful. And then the religious leaders started out standing proud and proper over ritual law and pointing down at Jesus, saying, "How dare you break the Sabbath?" Standing tall they were. But at the end, they were bent over, looking down, the scripture says, in shame. In shame. She was bent, broken, afflicted, nameless. And there in the crowd, suddenly she was healed. She was free. She was rejoicing. And all the religious leaders noticed, imagine, of all the things to notice, what they noticed was the day that it happened on. They said, "How dare you heal on the Sabbath? Jesus, we see that you can heal and set people free, and she's afflicted, but she's been afflicted for 18 years. Couldn't she be afflicted for one more day? Couldn't you wait until the Sabbath was over?" You know, many of us did grow up, and I guess it's become a generational thing. Many of us grew up where there were pretty extreme boundaries around the Sabbath. No movies, no concerts, some of us no dating, no fishing. And if you didn't go to church and you didn't have a good reason, no playing outside. If you can't go to church, you can't go play. Anybody, is that familiar to anyone? I mean, yeah, we're pretty extreme. But do you know folks like 40, 30 and under, they don't even know what I'm talking about. It's a different, yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's a whole different generation, a different mindset. But back then, the way they viewed the Sabbath was pretty extreme. And they thought that it was a bad thing. And they were angry at Jesus, ostensibly for breaking the Sabbath. But if there was a fault there, it was not the woman's fault. The truth is, she didn't even ask to be healed. Jesus saw her. Jesus called her. Jesus spoke to her a word of freedom, touched her, and healed her. He used the holy Sabbath day to do a holy thing. He set free a woman who was oppressed spiritually and physically. If you read carefully, she was oppressed in two ways. In an instant, she was upright and praising God. Now, I know that some of you and some of our membership have some intellectual problems with all the healings and the miracles in the Bible and the talk about people being spiritually oppressed by Satan. But because the Bible is the only place we learn of God's love in Jesus Christ, and because the Bible is the only place we hear of the God who wishes healing and wholeness and forgiveness and grace for us, and because the Bible is the only place that speaks of the love of a God who comes to us because there's no way on our own that we could go to Him. Because of these things, I take the healings and the mentions of spiritual oppression along with the good. I was a student of science in college, but to coin a phrase, I am no scientific fundamentalist. I am open to there being more unknown than known in the universe. And what I know of God's love from this Bible is more than enough to make up for any intellectual unease caused by miraculous healings and spiritual oppression. I say all of this to say that the undercurrent of the story is that this woman was physically afflicted, but also spiritually afflicted. Jesus does not use the word healed in this passage. If you look carefully, only Jesus' opponents use the word healed. Jesus uses the words set free. And his analogy was the untying of the animals to give them water on the Sabbath, to give them what they needed. Reading the story as it is given to us, we find her bound and broken physically and spiritually, downcast and tied up, hopeless and bound for 18 years, and Jesus sets her free. Now that language speaks to me. I have, and I think all of us on some level, on some instance, on some point, have felt bound by old problems and old infirmities of soul or body. Sometimes we let old wounds bend us and break us in places in our soul, and let those old wounds define who we are so that we become the disease and no longer a whole person. We lose our name, our personhood, our personality. We become the problem. We become the wound. We are stuck, downcast, somewhere in the past, somewhere back in the past. No longer even dreaming of a future. That's oppression. Had you noticed before when reading this passage, have you noticed before that the nameless woman defined by her disorder had never asked to be healed? You find other folks who ask to be healed or sneak up behind Jesus and grab the hem of his garment, but this woman never spoke to him, never called out to him. He came to her in her downcast, broken state. And he stood her up straight. On the holy Sabbath, a holy thing happened. Her body was healed. Her broken heart and spirit were filled with joy. Surely that is the message for us today. God can come into our lives and bring healing and wholeness even after we have given up. Even after we have started to see ourselves as hopeless. God can touch us after we have defined ourselves by the pain, and God can redefine us as child of God and show us a whole new world out there that we could not see because we were looking down, looking just down. Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. He took away her nameless, disease-defined name and gave her a new name. Daughter of the covenant, daughter of Abraham, daughter of God. Some people carry a heavy load. It could be of debt, week after week, month after month. They see their paycheck being absorbed by their never-ending debt. The debt may have been caused by unforeseen circumstances out of your control, or it may be because of undisciplined appetites or a desire to keep up with the Joneses. All of these are heavy burdens. Some folks carry around a heavy load of guilt. They've heard the words about forgiveness, but they have a very difficult time seeing themselves as valuable and worthy simply because they are convinced that they are terrible and awful people because of something they actually did, or maybe because of not living up to unrealistic expectations of parents. Parents who may still have a heavy influence on them even after they are dead. Some people carry the weight of seeing themselves as a victim. All their problems are caused by somebody else, and they spend time and spinning their wheels deciding whose fault this problem is. There's nothing they can do about it. Victims filled with despair. The visual image of the bent-over woman is a powerful picture where many people are today. Way too many of us are weighed down with the burdens and the cares and the worries of the world, expectations other people put on us, old guilt that we carry with interest into each day, financial problems, practical problems, unforgiveness, bitterness. And we wrongly define ourselves by these things instead of child of God. Instead, we are bent, we are broken, we are downcast, even though the world may not see it. The world may see us as wonderful people on the outside, and on the outside we may look that way. But too many inside are in some different ways bent and broken and downcast. Desperately, desperately downcast. And so we label ourselves. And then we get into the habit of labeling others as poor, or pitiful, or fat, or slow, or uneducated, or loser, or unattractive, or too old, or a failure, or no good, or sick, or all these things. But Jesus comes to us and makes us an offer that we never even dared ask for. He says, "You are set free. You can be set free. You are valuable and important and worthwhile to me. You are so important to me that I am willing to lay down my own life for your sake in order to lift you up and set you free." And then Jesus gives us a new name, a new label. You're no longer poor or fat or a failure or sick or pitiful or laden with guilt. No, you're a child of God. And as a follower, Christian. A Christian. Now, to be named Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, a daughter or a son of God, there are some in our culture, with an increasing number, I believe, who deride that name and belittle that title. But from the inside, those of us who have felt the weight lifted and felt ourselves unbent and standing straight up, we know that it means one who has been lifted up. One who has been healed in heart and no longer determined to call ourselves names or to be cast down in our aspect. It means forgiveness. It means wholeness. It means to be set free from afflictions of the soul or attitudes which bind us to the past. And the greatest thing of all is that it's a gift. It is a gift. It is grace. Grace from God to us. God who noticed our downcast, broken selves and calls us near to Him to be set free, to live upright, to be our true and best selves with peace and hope for ourselves and for others. For others. Thanks be to God. As it says in the Proverbs, thanks be to God, the God who heals the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. God still heals the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Thanks be to God for our living hope. We need not stay stuck in the past. We need not stay stuck and bent over and downward looking. Christ is calling us to heal our broken hearts, to save our crushed spirits, to give us the name Child of God. Amen. Please stand.
Thank you.
Before the benediction, I do want to answer one question. I was asked by one of our members, am I supposed to bring a present Wednesday night to your birthday? No, you are not. If anybody wants to give anything, I have all that I need, physical stuff. I have every book that I need. I haven't read all the ones that I have. But our budget and our building fund needs money. If you'd like to give something in honor of my birthday, you go right ahead and multiples of 50 will be acceptable. Now receive this blessing. Be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord, and by the comfort and the presence and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, even in this moment, we have been blessed. Be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.